Scott Warr, let's talk a little bit about Tailwind.
Tailwindnutrition.com.
Is that all?
Yeah. No, I want to tell you about the tip of the trail.
All right.
And this one comes from my friend, Don Freeman. You didn't know that, did you?
No, you came in here and you said, I've got the tip, and I thought, you know, I have great confidence in you. You always come up with something good. And
here's the tip.
Ready.
So, I don't know if you remember yesterday. You're getting a little old.
I think this is far enough, Scott Warr.
You were trying to encourage me to get out on the trail with you at 4:45 this morning.
Yes, sir.
And you sent me a photo of the trail, and you said, put this on your home screen on your phone.
Yes, I did.
So I did, and every time I look at my phone, I see the trail.
Yeah.
So it's front of mind, top of mind. It got me out on the trail this morning. I am grateful. Great tip of the trail. Get some Tailwind Nutrition at tailwindnutrition.com.
Scott, as the people know that have used it, it has all the electrolytes you need, it has the calories you need, and there's been people running 100 miles only with Tailwind that we see reports coming on over the social media. So the stuff works. Go to tailwindnutrition.com, select your flavor, take a screenshot.
Take the Tailwind Challenge. One of our new sponsors, Don, is Harry's. And you're asking me, I know you're asking me, why would a Trail Runner Nation...
What I would say is, what does Harry's taste like, Scott? How's it going to get me down the trail?
Harry's is a shaving company.
Oh, I see.
Why would we be talking about a shaving company?
Wind resistance, perhaps, Scott?
You know, bikers shave their legs, runners shave their faces.
There we go.
Well, so, you could shave your legs, I guess.
You know what, Scott? Ultra runners have some pretty thick beards sometimes. But there's a time you got to dress up, right?
You got to dress up. You got to put on the tie.
Okay.
Harry's.com. I've seen advertisements. I wasn't sure we should be doing this on a Trail Runner Nation podcast. Then some shavers showed up in the mail. We tried them, and I'm telling you, one of the best values out there.
Mm-hmm.
The blades are freaking amazing.
From Germany.
Yeah.
I watched the video.
They're one of the closest shaves I've ever had. And I've tried a lot of different blades and electric razors, but I'm a blade guy. This blade is amazing. Go to harrys.com and check out their two kits. They have two kits, a $15 kit, a $25 kit. Comes with three blades, a handle, some shaving gel. Really, really good value. And if you go and you use the TRN promo code, you get $5 off your first purchase. So that becomes a $10 kit and a $20 kit. Can't beat it. Best shave that you will ever have. Go to harrys.com.
Are we recording?
Dr. Romanoff, you're probably very experienced at professional interviews. This is not one of them.
Oh, come on. Don't put yourself down.
we are very casual. That's a good word.
Ashley, were you expecting a professional podcast?
No, I wasn't. Apparently not. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
And it was a miserable, miserable day.
Welcome to another edition of Trail Runner Nation. I'm Don Freeman.
I'm Scott Warr.
And I'm Sally McRae.
And today we are looking at a new book that is going to be hitting the shelves at the end of this month, which is September 2014, called The Running Revolution. And if you don't want to read a book with a title called The Running Revolution, you might as well not even be reading.
Scott, just the picture alone, a pair of shoes close up says, open me.
It is written by Dr. Nicholas Romanoff with some assistance from Kurt Brunghart. I hope I said Kurt's name right.
I'm going to say the Kurt was right. Yeah.
Kurt, yes. Brunghart as well, you know.
Dr. Romanoff is with us today to talk a little bit about it. Dr. Romanoff is an elite high jumper and a two-time Olympic coach, and has done a lot of consulting around the world for athletes and groups of athletes. So thank you for joining us, Dr. Romanoff.
You're very welcome, and thank you for inviting me for such an interesting endeavor.
Now, many of us out there here at Trail Runner Nation, we've been talking about technique and about form, and we know how important it is, and running efficiency with Dr. Mark Cucuzella, that if you're going to run any distance, whether it's short or long, being more efficient is going to make one a better experience, less injuries, and a bit more fun. And so, you know, I believe this is the perfect conversation to have with the creator of the POSE method.
Now, I've heard of the POSE method. I had no idea who created it. and I didn't know anything about it until I read the book.
Oh, so wow.
Shame on you.
Shame on me.
Dr. Romanoff, before we get you commenting here, that's why Scott has injuries from now and then. So this is really an intervention, Dr. Romanoff.
It's not an interview.
We have had these podcasts set up just so that for this intervention for Scott War.
Aww.
It's a useful part. We should be always there.
So my question is, Dr. Romanoff, the PoseNet method is not new, so this book does not necessarily unveil the Pose method. What is the Pose method? How did you come up with it, and how is it supposed to help?
Oh, well, it's a long story, but I will try to squeeze it in a couple sentences. You know, it's everything like it in history was mentioned by Leonardo da Vinci. Any inventions are coming from necessity. It's like an invention, mother of invention is a necessity. And the Pose came as my necessity, my personal name. When I started my job in university on my own faculty, sports and physical education, where I was a student before, I become a teacher of this faculty, and I start teach track and field events in sport biomechanics. I suddenly understood that actually, in practical way, I don't know what does it mean, running technique, in a much higher sense of that meaning. And there was no method of teaching, no efficient method of teaching. It was a description mostly. And it puzzled me and put me in a shocking condition of this revelation. And I start to study in this direction. And I was lucky. I spent only 2 years of digging in this direction. And after analyzing many, many different footages, mostly elite runners, on the Olympic level, any available footages of these runners, starting from Paul Nurmi on all Olympic Games in sequences, I found something what I put in the main task. What is it not different between runners and running, so-called, but what is it common for all runners and all running? And I found this surprising thing, what I later on call three elements invariable, three elements of running technique. It's called pose, fall, pull. That no matter how you run, you will stumble through these things. No matter of speed, no matter of distance, everyone does pose. It's a single, unique body position in mid-stance, what runner goes through. And then you are moving forward only and only by gravitational force, which comes as a gravitational torque. It's basically your body performing as a rod, falling rod or lever, you know. And the propulsive force there is a gravitational torque. We can call it moment of body weight. It means the force applied to the leverage. And by falling, you produce that acceleration and velocity, which you are witnessing all the time. And then you have to recover that body position pose to fall again. For that matter, you're pulling foot from the ground. And these three elements, you perform as one single sequence of Lao Tzu told about this journey of 1,000 miles starts from one single step. This is what you produce during your run. And I call pose because as a concept, it was born in 1977 in October. I found that any movement, no matter of what kind of movement you do, it's just a sequences of poses which body goes through. And among these unaccountable poses exists one single pose or two poses for not the cyclic movements like high jump, for example, or hurdles, which are key poses. And that name came as a household name, pose method, pose concept, and pose model. And in running, we have only one single pose. This is what a short story.
Well, you know, the one thing that is nice about the book is there's a lot of photos in here.
<It's got laughs>
because, you know, you described it very, very well. But for me, I'm a visual learner. And to see the pictures of those poses and how to go through them, I think is very, very helpful in the book.
This was the main goal for us to illustrate for people visually, because most people operate with the visual senses, to show them what does it mean, this position that would be imprinted. Because all mass media, magazines, TV, before that, would show runner in the absolutely absurdic position, you know, legs spread out in the air, which biomechanically speaking, nothing to do with the main thing, how to move forward. And this imprinted millions and millions of images over through people's mind and become a running image, which was wrong, biomechanically wrong, the first thing, you know. That's why you cannot operate with this image. And our goal was to put proper image of running. It's not when you're in the air, and not when you're putting your foot in front of yourself in making break. It's a body position in mid-stance from which you are falling. This is a proper image of running.
Sally, you had a question?
Yeah. This is all incredible information. Again, Dr. Romanoff, it is so awesome to have you on here. And I just wanted to back up just a little bit, especially for our listeners who are brand new to this idea of the pose method, and just why it is that we are so excited about this book. I'll have to say that just the phrase or the sentence that you have on the cover of your book is something that I'd say that most runners at some point in their running career, whether they run recreationally or competitively, think about. And you say how to run faster, farther, and injury-free. And at some point in your book, and I think it's maybe even just in the introduction, you basically say that you basically promise that if people commit to this program and commit to the lessons that you put in here, which are fantastic, by the way, I've been so excited to already jump in and start doing some of these things, that you will run more efficiently, you will run faster, you'll be able to run greater distances while maintaining the optimal form. You'll decrease your chances for injury. I mean, all these things. I mean, just I would go as far to say that that these promises, then, I mean, everybody should have this book. Everybody should jump in and learn about this method. But my question to you, because you also say that in a nutshell, this book is supported by the latest research, will help you cut through all the confusion. And I think, just Don Scott and I being in the trail community, and we're constantly talking with runners and we're at races and, we're fielding calls and messages and things like that. There is a lot of confusion out there. There is a lot of, different claims saying this is the latest research, this is the way to do things. What do you believe to be the single most confusing piece of information being communicated in the running world that would maybe be helpful to some of our listeners as they start to consider the pose method?
Oh, it's easy to answer. Mm-hmm. The names are household names in this field, very, very well known, like in the Soviet Union and now in the West as well. Mm-hmm. Nikolai Bernstein, right? You know this name probably. It's one of the most prolific biomechanists who worked in running. And mm-hmm. in the Western world, it was the English, Great Britain scientist, Geoffrey Dyson, mm-hmm. And then after that, many other people who will continue this research, like a group of coaches in Milano University. It's a group of Rudolfo Margaria in '60s, and then Peter Cavanna, American, in Penn State, and Ben O'Neig in Calgary, but he's a native Swiss guy, you know, who developed this human performance lab. And all these efforts of all of these people, we can summarize that we are looking for answer how to move in running and what is the main ingredient of running, but from the wrong point of view. Mm-hmm. It was related mostly about muscular work, you know. It was the main confusion what people created, you know. In 1984, Soviet Union professor Nazarov put this in a very simple question. It's like, we knew about running so many details, so much descriptive science was developed, and so many facts, but we still have no answer on the main question, how the man is moving on the surface of the earth, you know? And this is the point. Who is moving runner horizontally? This was a major question. And the general consensus was that we are moving with the muscular work, and that's why the concept of push-off was developed from very much way back in 20s, you know, in science and regular running community. It was mostly elite because normal people didn't run by that time, you know this. And this a consensus about muscular work create paradigm which called push-off paradigm. It means extension of the legs, full extension. It means knee, hip, and ankle work to propel you forward. This was the main thing. And then data in science start appearing one after another in many, many different ways that actually it's not true, but people couldn't get over it. If not muscles, who? You know, the question was. And that's why in Paul's method, I came through this analysis myself, you know, and I came to the conclusion that actually not muscles are moving us forward. You know, muscles are helping us to do this, but they are not moving. And the main thing there, it's a, one of the laws of mechanics, and this law is telling material body could be moved from point A to point B only by external force. When you are coming to this point, you suddenly are realizing that actually muscles are not external force. Muscles are internal force. By definition, they cannot move you forward. You see, this is the main conflict coming, you know. But as Richard Feynman told, that the conflict is not really conflict. It's a conflict of our understanding what nature does, not conflict with the nature. And I came to this assumption that not muscles are moving us. Muscles are playing a very important role to provide pose, provide any other things, replacement of body position and so on, but who is moving us, it's a gravitational force. Not directly, because gravity, classically, it's a vertical force. But when man touching, or animal, it doesn't matter, touching ground, and body start acting like a rod or leverage. And this is what gravity starts transforming into gravitational torque, and body starts rotating around the point of axis on the support, the pivotal point. And body starts rotating, pivoting around this point, and this is what movement happens. This is how movement happens. No matter you run uphill, downhill, sideways, it happens always the same way. And this is was foundation of the pose method, the pose concept, how we move forward by falling. This is what my definition, and then I put this in English, word fall, not lean, because By English definition, leaning, it means you are attaching yourself to something on which you're putting your body. But falling is a free thing. It's no leaning there. You're just falling. And this falling is what providing you speed to certain level. Obviously, gravitational force is putting some limitations, and these limitations are 22.5 degrees of falling angle, what maximum you can reach. After that, you cannot back to vertical position to fall again. But it gives you a tremendous speed, which you will never reach yet. This is what shortly my presentation for you.
I have a question for you, Dr. Romanoff. You've been teaching the pose method for years. How many of us are running improperly?
You want polite answer or
no? We want the
true one.
We're all about the truth at Trail Runner Nation.
Okay, I'll give you an example. you will make an assumption, you know, from this. The general consensus in running community, in science community as well, is like that. We're so different with the shapes, size, characters, and so on, that doesn't exist anything what could be one single technique suit everyone. This is a major misleading thought what produced in running community. In any other sports, that kind of notion is considered as a nonsense, because there are techniques, there are standards, and people learn it, you know? Nobody will go jump without learning how to jump. Nobody will do golf swing without learning with coach how to do these things. In running, you just put your shoes on and you are running, you know? Mm-hmm. And that creates absolutely disaster. You know what is disaster? Is injured people. By the latest data is about some of the data comes to 85% of runners injured every single year, you know. It's a disaster, really. No one sport has such a high level. It means, by definition now, what injury is coming? It's making mistakes, errors, right? By definition, error is a deviation from the standard. This is what injuries are, you know? So, next, I'm going back to history. It's a Chuang Tzu. It's a contemporary of Lao Tzu and Confucius. He is telling, pain is a penalty for violating principle of nature. You see, I'm coming to the same point. I would continue these things again and again and again from very smart people in history. And they are talking about the same thing. It's when you are not listening to nature, it will punish you. Francis Bacon, nature to be commanded must be obeyed. You hear?
Yes.
All right. So most of us are running with that kind of deviations. Only deviations could be tremendous or a little bit, you know? And this is what different between injured people or not yet injured, because body can tolerate these kind of things quite long, you know? And people not noticing, they are already injured and they are going to get more troubles, you know? Only running gives you a little bit more time. Well, how it sounds, I did in Russia long way ago, it's like in the 70s, we did the study, like it's called professional people study. I took very elite coaches and we did analysis of school kids, like 1,000 kids from elementary to high school, and we made marks how many kids in this school, no matter of classes, run close to what we call elite running technique by that time, you know? I didn't know yet pose method. What we found, it was like killing, almost like. Take your guess, how many kids run by this standard from 1,000 kids? Just your guess, please.
The number of kids that run with proper technique?
It's correct.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'd say most. Well, that's not a number, Scott.
Oh, good. You're getting smart.
I'm going to say 74%.
Okay. Who else? Sally, please.
Yes.
The children, we're talking specifically about kids who read
the
proper technique.
The children from elementary, from first grade elementary to high school.
And Sally, before you answer, I would be interested in hearing a follow-up on when we become adults, what happens to this number.
I will tell you. It's a very interesting story, but sad one, you know.
Okay, Sally.
It is. Well, I know that kids don't have the same ridiculous shoes that we necessarily have. So I would say that, let's say 80% of children run.
You are generous, you know. Yeah. Oh, you're so generous, guys, you know.
Wait. I get a chance, don't
I? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes, so there's a famous game show in the United States called The Price is Right.
Yes.
And so I chose to be last because I'm going to go one above Sal. I'm going to say 81%.
Oh, and you didn't go 72 below me because there's a lot of numbers back there, Scott.
Hey, he said a key word, you are generous, which means that I'm very wrong.
Okay,
Scott?
Scott, you, is this your assumption?
That's my assumption, 81.
Ah, okay.
Drop it.
So, guys... now I have to disappoint you, you know, because number was absolutely shocking by that time, you know. It's only after that I got confirmation. From 1,000 kids, which we are looking for, we look through about 20 schools, you know, and only 1 to 3 kids from 1,000, you know.
Wow.
Oh, okay. That's sad.
Yes, this is what unfortunate number came up, you know. And what happened about adulting, you know, growing? What happened? What is the funny thing is that kids are running close to the pose until age 5, 6.
Huh.
From toddlers' time, toddlers run pose. Just the pose.
What?
There is no any deviations. They have no muscles, no biomechanics knowledge, anatomy, but they run pose. Look at toddlers who start just walking, you know?
So Dr. Romanoff, as what we learned from that study is school is destroying our children's running form. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, our teaching, because the wrong paradigm creates wrong teaching. This is what I found, and it was... you understand, I was a university teacher, young one, and for me to find this fact was completely disaster, you know?
So my question is, what happens between five years old and 6 years old? What breaks down? What's the common thread or theme or consistent item that blows this whole thing up?
It's very simple. The kid, child entering to society. Before that, child lives in surrounding in his family, you know, mom, pop, you know,
right.
Siblings, and nobody really teaching them to do movement. And they are going by the nature's call, you know, guidance, and they're using body weight, gravity to move, you know.
Right.
And by the time of 7 years, they go to school. And teaching starts. They entering to social life, you know, to society. And society full of wrong images, running images. Teachers telling increase your stride lengths and so on, you know. And that disaster starts when high school girls. I call it high school girls running. It's who is in teams, in high school track and cross-country teams. They look alike, all of them. When I came to America, it was a surprise for me how they are similar on east or west or anywhere where I was going around America. Because that notion of increase your stride lengths, you know, and heel striking create unparalleled... copy of each other, you know, and obviously disaster. I was working with several girls, very talented girls, who were destroyed by all these things, you know, unfortunately. So when you're entering to adult, most people like hate running because it's painful, and hate running because they don't know how to run properly. And if you are doing something what you don't know how to do, you have no pleasure. Your fun is just a very much on the boundary of pain, you know?
I find that with golf, Doctor. Golf is not fun for me.
Yes, I was teaching once in Austin, very old golfers, you know, over 80. And this, they reached the time when they couldn't play golf anymore because the pain was so substantial that they didn't play. And for them, golf was only one sexual thing left over, you know. And they asked me to teach them how to play without pain, and I taught them how. I developed actually pose method for golf as well, you know. So if you will invite me to your place, it's very much costly, but I will teach you how to.
Hey, I don't know what's more painful, your price or me playing golf.
I've seen you play golf,
you
Scott.
You have to make your decision.
Yeah, I have to make a decision.
You know what I think is very, very interesting? As you said, you were in Europe and then over here in the United States, and you see similar running form, just deterioration of a pure and natural form. Just it gets lost somewhere. And to me, there's not a lot of communication or teaching similarities. They seem just to move off on their own. I don't know if it's from images that we look at or what. But
we're learning all the time. Unfortunately, mass media in America is a powerful thing, you know.
Yeah.
And you want or you don't want, you will be entering to this field and you will pick up these images. And teenager or kid cannot make a conscious decision of what to take. They are copying, you know. Why in America kids playing very well basketball, not learning really? It seems like, in the quote, learning. But they do learn through the watching NBA games where the best guys are playing in front of them, and most of them are like not running but playing ball. Is excellent technique, and they are copy, and that's why you don't need to teach kids. They're playing basketball very well.
Well, just by design, for humans, we need to be amazing copiers, especially as children.
Oh, yes, we are, yes. But the image should be right as well.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. I imagine when you look and open up runners' magazines and different pictures that you see.
It was disaster. Do you understand that the last decade, these images are changed, and they are now close to the pose position, most of them.
And Doctor, you started talking about this some 40 years ago, that you had recognized these three positions of the pose and proper technique and how to land and forefoot striking versus heel striking. And I imagine it's quite satisfying after this many years of speaking and talking about it that people are starting to listen and hear and repeat and copy your message.
Yes, it's true, because when I started in 1993 in Miami, I came there to go around and tell people, oh my goodness, people, you are so good. You are very nice people. I admire your passion about running, but your running technique sucks. They start hate me.
And how were you received, Doctor? How was that message initially received?
Oh, not good, obviously, because most people, because I did recommend this minimalistic shoes as well, you know. Shoe owners, stores owners, they hate me because my students didn't buy their monsters with the big midsole shoes, you know, and the wages, so, because I didn't recommend this, and they thought I'm a smoker, something, you know, that I have no clue how to run, you know. And after like two decades, now it's everything radically changed and changed in my favor. So then this shoe owners now couldn't look at my face, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you brought up shoes. And so really, that's one of our favorite topics, shoes. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't like to talk about shoes? And then when there's a radical choice between the real cushioned shoe like the Hoka and Ultra and some of these thicker shoes, and then the minimalist shoe that have zero drop and more proprioceptive feedback, and so they're not giving you a whole lot there. Such a drastic difference becomes a great topic. And that's kind of my setup for my question. I have so many questions on this topic. I'm going to start with this, if I may. You have looked at films from, well, starting back to paintings, before you even had film, and you watched running form.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe even some cave drawings. I don't know how far back you went. And so I've got to ask this question. When the old Converse was out, and it was just a flat shoe, in fact, even on one of your pages, you give us some history of the shoe. Back when that shoe existed in the 50s or so, or even before, what did the running... Okay, I had to look at my chart. What did
Reebok came in the beginning of last century, you know.
What did running form look like when we had the old canvas top flat shoe with rubber on the bottom from Converse?
No, it was the same, you know, only we saw it differently. This is what point. You know, nature doesn't change. Reality, this is what interesting point, you know. Gravitational field exists on the Earth from the Earth's 4.5 billion years. And since that time, the rotation of the Earth is some in the middle of this term, changed from 6 hours to 24 hours. And since that time, it's like about 3 billion years, it's the same gravitational field was on the Earth. And it was a main base, evolutionary base for development, living on the Earth, you know. And since that time, everything was under the gravitational field influence developed. It goes to the molecular level where gravity was influencing everything. And so movement was developed under that influence. And running by itself, no matter how caveman was painting runner, it was art form, but not real understanding of, because people run in the same way at that time as they run today. This is what I came to the conclusion when I start to analyze. It's our understanding and imprinting this was a different. Reality doesn't change. This is what we have to understand. It's our understanding of the reality is changing. Our perception is changing. This is the main conclusion.
Doctor, so let me redefine my question. Were we better runners back in 1916, or are we better or today? What we
technically
had...
speaking, we were the same.
Okay,
you are talking basically about time wise, you know, and this is I have to bring up another thing, you know. What's the difference between Paul Nurmi and Kenisi Bekele? It's a world record holder who ran first under 30 minutes 10K in 20s, you know. It's a great Finn. You remember probably his name.
Yes.
And Kenisi Bekele, whose last record was 2005, 26:17:53. And what's the difference between them? It's not physiological difference. These guys both are Rolls Royces, you know. They are top niche of the physiological appearance of endurance, you know. But the difference between them is in not technique as well, because Nurmi was very much posed runner. I analyzed his technique, and he was different was perception. What the boundary of our performance, our abilities, you know, it's not physiological differences, it's a perception difference. And this is what we have to understand. And plus, of course, Paul Nurmi ran on the cinder track, you know, and there was no support, good as it's right now on the track, modern synthetic tracks. And people are falling. In this case, Paul Nurmi was restricted with his fall. Cadence-wise, he was the same as Kenisi Bekele, you know. Mm-hmm. But angle of falling, which produced that speed, was different and better performed by Kenisi Bekele because of cinder track, spikes, good spikes, you know, and his perception of what he could run. Is it my answer is falling into the place now for you?
Yes. Can we talk a bit about it, what happened when shoe companies built these cushion shoes? I'm going to ask that.
Not shoe companies. It's a Bill Bowman.
Okay, let's call
it's
him by
Nike
name then.
First, you know.
Well, yeah, I don't think he has any control on the podcast, so we won't be struck down or anything. So, you think that was that event of that big heeled shoe started to move our running gait?
Behind this idea, Bill Bowman's idea was to increase the stride length. You know, this is what he came up with in the 60s. Bill Bowman, we have to credit this man with full level of credits to him. He was an incredible guy, you know, and we have to understand that he brought the virus of the jogging to United States from New Zealand, and he was curious enough to go to New Zealand in a group of Arthur Leader to understand the phenomenon of jogging, what it came up later on. And he was a fully single one responsible guy who brought this jogging into America. And obviously he created this buzz, very much necessary for sedentary people or American slackers, you know, to get to the health condition. So, but developing shoe, he came as an incredible entrepreneur. He found that, it's his own words I'm quoting, it's not important how you run, it's important that you run at all, you know. This is what his quote is from his book Jogging from 1967, you know. And this is what put people in the wrong direction and created base for injury development. And plus shoe with this wedge and cushioning was developed as a compensation of this lack of technique. This is what, because it's increasing stride length, you have to run through the heels, and cushioning heels was as a solution for that problem. As a matter of fact, it built up many other problems like knee pain problem. The biggest rate of injuries in running, it's a knee problem, and it's related with heel striking, as recommended by Bill Bowman, unfortunately.
You know, again, this book is very well written. It's very logical. It's a how-to book. I mean, there's some a section that's on the history of running and talks about the shoes, which has a really cool graphic about the evolution of shoes. But more importantly for me, it's a how-to book, the step-by-step process of how to become a more efficient runner and how to implement the pose method. I want to talk about a couple specific things in here. One is something that I don't do, which I know many runners do. You advocate that a runner has a journal. Why is a journal important?
Oh, you see, you cannot keep in your mind everything what you're doing, no matter you want or you don't want. You're losing this. And if you want to really get to know yourself, you have to have this training log and see what's happening. I continue my training log right now, you know, not doing any sports, basically, in terms of how people think. I still do running. I do strength exercise. I do flexibility exercise. And I'm keeping this training log for myself to register my perception, my senses, my feelings, you know, and what I'm capable to do. And it's the base of your further development, your progress, because you are progressing only as much as you understand where you are. And every single time, it's your baseline, your foundation to next step forward. If you don't have it, you will be running in the same circle like a blind horse, you know.
I think the pictures are great, and I think the graphics are great, and there's one that really strikes me and to the point of proper running technique, and that's the type of injuries that come from overstriding or landing with your foot in front of your torso. And when you hear the number of injuries and how common they are for runners, of even if you're not injured, these are some nagging things that can happen to you as you're trying to get all your miles in for that training session. So landing injuries that he describes: calf strain, Achilles tendonitis, runner's knee, stress fracture, ankle sprain, plantar fasciitis, IT band syndrome. What runner haven't we heard on the trail or seeking treatment or doing a Google search finds, how do I get rid of this? And you simply explain, if you're experiencing injuries here, think about where your foot is landing and the crashing that comes down with this leg in front of you trying to capture all this energy. You're going to create some problems, and here are the problems you get. You can clean this up. You can eliminate these, as on the front cover, Terry Roberts, 28-time Ironman finisher, knows a little something about athletics, says, eliminated my injuries, cleaned his form up. And that's the real value, and why we were excited about getting on this podcast, is there's solution for seemingly impossible to solve problems if you just clean your act up, get your leg back where it belongs, shorten that stride up, land properly, don't crash down on a heel, and land on a forefoot that has a large base with an arch behind it that absorbs energy as it was designed to. And so the pictures are great, and the concepts are critical and stand the test of time, as Dr. Romanoff has said, as far back as the molecular structures in the universe. And we went to astronomy. We went into the way that the planets circle and gravitational forces for the foundation of this running. Well, I guess I didn't have a question. Do I have a question at the end of that?
Yeah.
So,
I want to jump in on there.
Oh, good.
I think, as we continue to do these podcasts and as we are constantly interacting with runners and listeners, I think I'd say that most all of you can relate to having an injury, and it's frustrating. It takes us away from what it is that we want to do, and at the same time, I feel like many of us are on this quest to try and avoid injury as much as we can. I know, Doctor, you talk a lot about common injuries, especially towards the end of the book, and you say that pain and injuries are almost always the result of how you land. And I think that what we see throughout this book is you constantly talking about the pose, the pole, how to really land properly. And the lessons that you put in this book, you very simply lay out week by week how it is that you can change this, and not only change your form, but you also put in there ways that we can become stronger, become more mobile. I mean, you have some great stretching. I know Don and Scott have talked about the pictures over and over again throughout this book, which are phenomenal. I think it also helped them read this book quite quickly too. They tend to like the pictures more than the words, right, guys?
I'm offended by that statement, Sally.
I don't understand the statement.
Wait, what? But I think, again, just going back to the overall concept of this book and why it is that this would be a phenomenal book for every runner is, and I'm big on, I love facts. I like facts. I like truth. I like what is real and not just, there's so many opinions out there on running. There's so many ideas, and there are hundreds of thousands of coaches that say this is what you should be doing. But what I was most pulled toward in this book, which really hooked me in, was your statement in the beginning when you said that the discovery of pose, it is not opinion, but it's observational. Yeah, it's observational and conceptual descriptions of optimal running form that are now a part of the scientific community. And so this the 40-year journey that I know Don talked about earlier, that this isn't something that you just thought, hey, how can I make the next running fad, and it took you a year. It's kind of like the diet industry. It's like every 3 months we seem, this is the one way to lose weight. You're not doing that. What you have done is you put in the hard work. You have put in an incredible amount of time just watching the best runners in the world, and you have discovered that whether they are a slow distance runner, a sprinter, that there is a certain position, there is a pose that they get into that makes for the best and most optimal running. And so it is not an opinion of this. It is observation over 40 years of discovering what that looks like. And you are now presenting it in the most simple way with pictures and descriptions. And you're saying that if we follow this, if we stick to it, if we are disciplined, and you call us out as athletes, as students, and say, get your notebooks ready. If you want to run faster, if you want to run farther, you want to run injury-free, then this is how you do it.
Thank you. It's a very deep statement. I do appreciate this, and it shows me that you really deeply understood the concept. Thank you. I do appreciate it very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I just want to say, you know, I just ate your book up. I think by the time I got to page 12, and I sat in Starbucks and just sat and read the whole thing, had a couple cups of coffee. And by the time I got to page 12, I wanted to be on the track, and I want to do this right now. I'm a research junkie. I love experiencing things out. I'm very passionate about runners and the running community. I talk to runners all day from all over. And, you know, a lot of the things that you address in this book are part of just normal conversations that I have day in and day out. And so, again, I was really drawn to really just who you are, Dr. Romanov, is this journey that you've been on, and realizing that since 1977, when you walked out of that your class that one day and realized, wait a minute, something's not right about what it is that is being taught, these beliefs or these facts that are being taught about running. I don't agree with them. There has to be something more. And you essentially started to begin this journey or this adventure of really this quest to unlock the mystery of the biomechanics of running and finding the best ways to teach us. So this has been a 37-year adventure for you. And might I add how incredibly inspired I am by that alone, the wonderment, the hard work, and the motivation required to pursue anything for four decades. You know, it's quite sublime. And I just want to commend you for that, because I know that your endurance in pursuing your life's quest has now as it's coming to fruition, the great impact and benefit it will be to our sport is just phenomenal. So I really want to commend you for your hard work. And again, this book is so simple. It's an easy read. And I just know it's going to change a lot of runners' lives, regardless if they are recreational or competitors. Running is such a great activity that we can all do. And you are saying this is how you can do it better.
So Sally, so you like the book, Sally?
Oh, I love the book.
just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, just hey, just to entice a little bit, because there are some titles or chapter titles. Becoming Your Own Coach, Running on Different Surfaces, whether it's treadmill or trail running, Common Injuries, Prevention and Treatment. So it's how to clean up your act, and it's also how to learn to observe yourself and learn how to monitor yourself as you're going down the trail, which is critical. As we fatigue, as we start a race, as we're in the middle of a race, we need to keep our form clean and not let fatigue start to alter it. And the only way to do that is to have some feedback and know what to look for and watch it break down and then fix it and be a student of yourself and a coach of yourself from start to finish line to make sure you stay efficient, to make sure little things like knee pain don't creep up on you in the middle of a race and destroy your hard work. So very, very good for us to learn how to listen to our own bodies, and we need guides to teach us, and this is one of the guides. Mm-hmm.
The Running Revolution by Dr. Nicholas Romanov with Kurt Brunghart is available at your local bookstore or Amazon or however you want to pick up your books.
They can't have mine, Scott.
At the end of September 2014.
September 30th.
I'm sorry?
September 30th.
30th.
September
30th.
Yeah, 30th.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. If you pick up the book
and it captures your attention and your interest like it has ours, and you want more. There is a website called TechniqueSpecialist.com, and I just logged on to that website, and it's a gigantic world map with pins everywhere. There are specialists where you can go and get further training on Dr. Romanoff's technique that he has discovered over the years.
We developed lots of coaches to help the runners to possess this technique.
In addition, at the podcast description, we are going to link a video that's on YouTube called Learn How to Run. We'll link that. Go watch that. That'll also intrigue you and probably force you involuntarily to buy the book.
Like a zombie, Scott?
Yes.
Yeah.
It hypnotizes you.
Dr. Romanoff, we appreciate your time that you've taken with us, and thanks for sharing your knowledge and writing this book. It really is a great book.
Well, thank you very much, Sally, Scott. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your deeply involvement in this process and your very nice and the very smart understanding of the post. I do appreciate this very much. Mm. It's a heartwarming introduction of pose with very involved people with heart and soul, not just for the sake of information. And it's very much appreciated. And I wish to all runners to be happy and not injured. This is what my wish for you guys is.
Well, thank you. Your book has helped do this. Now, trail runners, go to trailrunnernation.com. I don't even know what's there, Scott. There's wonderful links to podcasts. There are...
You can get your performance-enhancing Coca-Pellies.
Well, yes, you can. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at some new swag for the fall season, right?
Yeah.
So Scott's on that. He is busy designing things in his workshop.
I'm sewing. I got the sewing machine out.
He found some good deal on some material. I don't know what color it is, but he is busily working. I see pink threads on him when he gets out on the trail. So
ooh,
apparently
pink.
That's part of the color scheme. So go out and run.
Moss.